welcome you to the board meeting tonight. We have all board members present and Superintendent Citrude and Jared Black, Business Administrator. So we would like you all to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I don't see Amanda Jolly here. Is she?
Amanda will not be here.
Okay. We have the consent items, the warrants and the minutes for March 2016 and the financial reports.
Oh, I have a little.
Okay.
Something. Let me find it. Down where it says, finally, it is recommended that during the initial years of the reconfiguration, are we talking years or is it just the initial year?
What was the rest of the sentence?
The Board of Education annually received reports from schools on the implementation progress and the successes and challenges of the reconfiguration.
Well, my feeling was that at least during the first two or three years, there'd be some kind of report on how it was going.
Yeah.
Not just one year. That first year would be critical, but I think that there ought to be two or three years where there's some kind of report given to the board on what kind of challenges have been found and what's been done to adjust, and that was what I had in mind.
Okay, I was just curious about that.
Okay, is there a motion to accept those?
Oh, I'll make a motion to accept the minutes from our last board meeting.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? We have personnel actions, names for approval, letter of resignation, and letters of retirement.
Okay, we have on my report to you, there's several names listed for approval. Recommended by the principals of the schools. Denise Smith is assistant cheer advisor at Emory High School. Dallas Webster as cheer advisor at Green River High School. Tanya Nguyen, drill team advisor, Emory High School. And John Fiamalo as head football coach, Emory High School. Would recommend that the board approve those people in those positions for next school year.
I would make a motion that we approve them as you presented them.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. You mentioned those other.
Yeah, I did. Go ahead.
We have one letter of resignation. Roseanne Dawes has given us a letter of resignation for her teaching position at Castledale Elementary. She's teaching first grade and wants at least for a year or so to pursue something else, and has resigned. She does indicate there may be a time when she would like to come back and teach again, but for next year she is resigning. Resignations, we generally have had the board accept that letter of resignation. Retirements are just for your information. So I think we ought to have a motion to accept that letter of resignation.
Thank you.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
All
that.
In favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
And then right now, we know that there are others who are still giving consideration, but we have letters of retirement from John Crawford, Student Services Supervisor, Jim Jones, Principal at Canyon View Junior High. Jim has taken a position in Kingman, Arizona for next year. K-5 Elementary School, Title I School, I believe. So,
where? Kingman, Arizona.
Deborah Blackburn, who's been a bus driver and an educational assistant at Farron Elementary. Jackie Wilson, educational assistant at Hudson Elementary. And Jeannie Jensen, who's, I think, one of our speech and hearing educational assistants. She's housed at Castledale Elementary. So just for your information, we have letters of retirement from those individuals. And we anticipate several others who are looking at their retirement options right now. But so, again, we don't need a motion on that, but just for your information.
Neil has a.
Oh, Neil, yes.
Superintendent, we see in the paper advertising for an English teacher at the high school.
Yes.
Has Leslie Larson's.
Thank you, I appreciate that. Yes, and Mr. Davis was supposed to email me a copy of her letter of resignation. And he may have, and it's in my junk file, but I haven't found it yet. But Leslie is planning to leave, yes, and we are advertising an English teacher. Thanks for bringing that up, Neil. I meant to mention that, but I don't have the formal letter. I'm sure he's emailed it to me, but it's probably in my junk mail. I haven't checked there yet. That's the only place I haven't.
Do we need to have Mrs. Lindley submitted a letter as well? So do we need to have?
I haven't a letter yet, but she knows that John's talked to her about it. So.
A lot of people that have given a lot of years of service to the school district. Policy action, GDO support staff evaluation revision.
Yeah, we have a state board rule on, we've been working on the educator evaluation so hard, we've kind of put the support staff evaluation process in the background, but the 2016-17 school year requires us to implement a new support staff evaluation program that includes the evaluation instrument that is specific to the position that those people occupy. Right now we have an evaluation instrument that is a general instrument that is used for all support staff, and right now we're developing individual instruments by job title, along with working on the job descriptions. State board rule indicates that it follows very similarly what the educator evaluation follows as far as compensation being tied to evaluation and those kind of things. But they do not require an annual evaluation for part-time support staff employees. And one of the things that we've been trying to balance is the load on the administrators right now with the educator evaluation system being so complex and burdensome in some ways, as far as, I don't know if burdensome is the right answer, but it is a very cumbersome process. And so the policy that I sent to you is a policy, it's a one-page policy. It doesn't outline the specific process, but it outlines the policy, and it goes right along with the state board rule. But we have included in there that a kind of a middle position, that part-time support staff employees would be evaluated once during their first year and then every 3 years thereafter. If they unless there are issues or problems, a supervisor, media supervisor, can conduct as many evaluations as necessary. So if there are issues that come up, then they can be evaluated during any year. But that's the minimum. The rule does allow you to exempt them completely from the evaluation process, but I don't think that's where we want to go with that. And also, temporary employees are hired for short periods of time and don't require an evaluation unless they're with you for more than 30 days. I think if they're there 30 days, they're required to have at least one evaluation during that time. And so I'm recommending the board approve this policy. I know that over the next few years it'll need to be revised and changed, but it does meet the state board rule, and we are almost finished with the instruments, the observation instruments and evaluation rating system that goes with that. Okay. So, and I have included employees from each of those support staff positions and helping to determine what kind of job duties they have and what should be evaluated. And so, but the policy itself I'm recommending for approval tonight. so we can move ahead.
I just have a question. What's the difference between at-will support staff and temporary support staff?
Okay, at-will are basically the those who work less than half-time if they were employed before July 2013. If they were employed after that, it's those who work 29 and a half hours or 29 out, yeah. Is it 30 hours, less than 30 hours? Those are the at will. Temporary employees are those that may be hired to do a 30 day or 90 day something in their system. We have very few temporary employees. They could be special projects, maintenance crew. You might put somebody on for a special project, but they're temporary. It isn't ongoing. Coaches are all at-will employees, and any part-time that like I said, if they're less than half-time and were hired, if they're hired before July of 2013, they're considered at-will if they are less than half-time. But if since then, it's less than 30 hours a week.
Well, that's pretty darn clear to me.
It was a lot of words, but I hope you got the message.
Okay.
My mouth is all dry.
Yeah.
Well, I make a motion that we accept it if you could explain it to us.
I'll second
that. All in favor? All in
favor?
Any further questions?
You'll learn to ask me any other questions anymore.
Yeah.
There's no short answers with me.
No. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we have unpaid leave request.
Probably ought
want to
wait
talk about that in. Okay.
That
it's a personnel item, so. Okay, thank you. Principal's report then. Principal Hughes.
I would love to do that.
Okay.
So, the faculty and staff of Conwood Elementary do welcome you to our school, and we appreciate you being here tonight. As I near the completion of my first year as a full-time administrator, I'm pleased to report a successful and productive school year. Our school has undergone many changes and accomplishments over the course of this school year, and I'd like to share some of those of note. First, our school received one of the three letter grades from the state of a B, ranking us as second highest in the district with the percent that we received on our SAGE testing. So we're very proud of our faculty and staff for their results last year. We have a successful implementation of the new Go Math program. That was an interesting start to our year, but the teachers feel very confident in their instruction right now, and they're very pleased with the program and how it's functioning in our school.
What's it called? New
Go Math?
It's Go Math.
Math
is the new math program that we adopted as a district.
Okay.
So it's the new, and I love it because it's tied to the Utah core. Number three, we were able to hire an aide for intensive math instruction for struggling students in grades three through six. We used our land trust money to do that. It's been wonderful. We hired Mrs. Roberts, and she comes in and works 20 minutes with the teachers. Recommend 3 to 4 students. It's a fluid group, so that as they get it, they're cycled out, and new kids are cycled in that need extra help.
All grades?
She right now is doing 3 through 6, and then we changed our reading buddy money that we were paying for one of our aides to run a buddy program with the upper grades and lower grades. We changed that funding, and Susan Childs works extensively with K-3 students in reading. So we're trying to help our upper grades focus on math and our lower grades on reading. Mm-hmm. And with our land trust plan and our community council, we're looking at hiring at least one more aide next year that will either do math or reading, and one that will flip-flop between those. And so we're trying to provide extra services for all students that need that extra help at our school. We started what I call test meetings, which are teaming to ensure student success each quarter. So other schools do what they call data days. In those meetings, I meet with each teacher along with the resource and self-contained teachers, and we go over every student in the school, and we talk about what supports they might need to be at us to help promote their learning. If they're that's our high students and our low students, how can we help these students be successful? We also address each student's social and behavior needs, and we'll refer them to Amy Bell or to other services as needed. This year, we were able to identify 15 students who were tested. Not all of them qualified, but a majority did. So we found it was a great resource to get those kids in our schools that were slipping through the cracks, the extra help they needed. We found that was very successful. And I meet with my teachers once a quarter for those meetings. It's been wonderful. We use our land trust money to pay for the guest teacher that comes in and and takes over the classes so the teachers can meet with me. Also, our students have really enjoyed the challenges that Mrs. Carroll has presented here in the library with the Road to Success program that the district endorses. They've, as you can see from the board in the hallway, they just finished the theme Pop Open a Good Book. They've done a gumball theme. We had a bubble blowing contest between me. I came out of every class and my jaws were done by the end of the day, but we blew bubbles to see who could blow the biggest bubbles. I was not the winner with the older kids. I won the little kids, but the big kids I did not. But as a result of that, our students have logged over 1 million minutes this year. In fact, they've logged 1,016,829 minutes as of today. So we're very proud of them. Our students also donated over $800 to Avery Ward. And our sixth graders ran a Hot Chocolate Wars with Mrs. Tuttle as part of a math learning project. And they donated the money from that was supposed to go to their field trip to Avery Ward. So I was very proud of our sixth graders. They made her a big card and sent her a check. And that was awesome for our sixth graders to show that kind of empathy and support for someone else. And we have an active and supportive PTA who has helped promote school spirit this year and provided service to our buildings, our room moms, reading helpers. And then this year they were able to give each teacher almost $500 per teacher to buy supplies in their classroom.
Wow.
So we really appreciate our
$500
PTA.
$500 per teacher?
Per teacher, they did. And the teachers were able to get some much needed resources that our school budget would never allow for, some of those extra fun things that we can't afford to do that as a school. So we really appreciate those ladies who serve on that as well. We also were able to update the inside and outside of our building with the paint. Corey's been painting a stripe for eternity. I think he's almost done. He said tomorrow he'll finish. The stripe will be complete. But we do enjoy the ability to update the building a little bit, make it look nice. And lastly, I think a close sense of community within our faculty and staff. I love our school. I think we have an amazing staff and faculty here. And we work all together, and I think we're teaming well to help these students be as successful as possible. As a faculty and staff, we did want to thank Superintendent Sitchard for the many years of service he's given to our district, our school, and especially our students. He's provided many opportunities, even for me in my first year as a principal, to have trainings and those things that I need to help be more successful, so I appreciate that, and our staff does. Moving forward, just to give you kind of an idea of where we're headed, we'll be phasing out required homework at our school. It will be replaced with 20 minutes of reading to and with a parent. That'll be our theme, to and with parents reading. Mm-hmm. We're also changing the way we grade to a standards-based format next year where students will receive mastery ratings versus letter grades in their classwork and in their performance. We've been working on that for weeks and months as a faculty, reading research on homework and the benefits. And as a faculty, we came to the conclusion that we're just going to phase it out. We found that it was punishing kids who don't have support at home and being a hindrance to kids who already understand what's going on. So we're looking at other ways to help our kids be successful at school. So I'm excited to report to you next year how that went.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Cottonwood is also continuing to raise the bar of educational excellence in the districts. We're proud of how far we've come in the last year, and we look forward to seeing how far we can go in the future. And we do appreciate your time and support of our school, faculty, staff, parents, and most importantly, our students. So thank you so much for all you do.
Thank you. There's a lot of enthusiasm here, and you can feel the excitement of the things that you're doing. Thank you for what you bring to
the
school.
Do the kids know there's no homework next year?
Teachers have started engaging with that conversation, and it's not there's no homework. It's you're now responsible for your learning at school. And Mrs. Tuttle, it was interesting. She tried this with the kids because we're using what we call the Master Connect program. It's a software program that tracks every standard of the Utah State standards. And when teachers put in assignments, they have to connect it to a standard. So there's no longer just teaching and hoping it matches something, but they specifically have to match to a standard. And when the kids take an assessment, it gives them their rating immediately so they can see if they're red, yellow, or green. And Mrs. Tuttle tried this with her class, and she said, you know, you're now responsible for learning in class. There's not taking home extra projects. There's not extra credit you can do at home to inflate your grade, because we found that here's where students look like they are, but here's where they really are in their learning because of all the extra stuff they can do.
Mom is up here, though.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's true.
With those homework.
True. And so what we're hoping to give is a clear picture of where students are at in their learning. But Mrs. Tuttle did it the other day with her kids, and the kids that thought they really had it ended up being yellow and reds on that assessment. And they really stepped back from it and said, oh, wow, I really don't know that. I really need extra help. And they actually asked for help. She told them that this isn't homework anymore, what you're doing in class, but this is what you need to do to pass the test tomorrow. And she said they worked like they've never worked before. And she's like, I thought it was a fluke, but she did it in three different sections. And every time those kids were more focused and more on task in their learning. So to me, that's a positive indicator that the direction we're heading is going to be a good direction.
Okay.
So we're excited for the way we're
recommended as a school.
Be anxious to hear how that works. It sounds like it's well on its way to be successful.
Do they get that feedback immediately? Like they're doing it on an iPad or something like that?
They do. There's lots of ways to do it. They do what they call a bubble sheet, so they can answer on a bubble sheet. There's an app that the teacher scans it.
Okay.
Mm.
And then it shows the kid, and there's ways to do it. They can show the kids which ones they missed, but not what the answer is, and they can circle them, and the kids can go back and try it again. Or they can see what they did. They can take them in the lab. And what the teachers love is that it dumps that information right into the teacher tracker program, so they can see immediately where their kids are. It doesn't average it out, so if a kid is red to start with and can take the test next and can be mastery, it automatically changes it to mastery. It doesn't average ever, which I love, because when you average, kids will never ever show mastery.
Yeah.
If they fail the first test, they'll never be mastery unless they take like 800 assessments.
Huh.
So, and if you want to see the program, I'm happy to show it to you. But several schools, I know Ms. Durant's using Mastery Connect at her school as well. Amazing program that's going to really allow us to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So it will be interesting to see these no homework kids once they hit that middle school.
We have the school community council expressed extreme concern over that. They said, what's going to happen when they get to junior high? And my hope is that the junior high will see that it's a successful way to not have as much homework. The research I read stated even in junior high, there's no positive correlation between homework and success in students until they hit the high school age. The other
even
concern
in high
was
school,
that they never
huh?
have to
no?
do homework here. How are they going to be successful at junior high? And my response was, if we teach them to be hard workers in class, they may not ever have to have
mm-hmm.
homework, because they will understand how to take care of their learning at school.
I never took
so,
a book
so
home.
So Neil is back there
well, you didn't need to
agreeing
when that
with
smart.
What you're saying.
I hope.
Agreeing?
I just did it in class. I didn't know how to
yes,
home.
Mr. Hughes is absolutely right on with this. And I just recommend a documentary on Netflix that you ought to go watch. It'll cost you 2 hours of your life, and it will change your life.
Hmm.
It's called Race to Nowhere. Race to Nowhere, and it talks about exactly this thing, and it asks a great question. If kids can't learn it in school
yeah.
with a teacher, what makes you think they're going to go home?
Exactly, yeah.
They may learn
I've
it
read
wrong
some.
At home.
Yeah.
Do it all wrong.
I
have to teach the parents
it's
sometimes.
It's
a lot of
same,
research. It's
the same with high school. They're finding out if a high school kid has more than 15 minutes of homework
per
night, not per class.
Per night.
Per night.
Wow.
It is becoming counterproductive.
I have read some articles about that. Yeah.
Check out
to
that
be
documentary.
The, I will.
Race to Nowhere.
Okay. We're sending a letter home at parent-teacher conferences tomorrow that explains our stand and why we're doing what we're doing, and we link to articles that would be
oh,
informative for parents who want that. So we're
all,
hoping that
all that
we'll
homework
be.
We did.
You may have to provide grief counseling.
My staff is prepared because
they
it's a
won't
tradition,
know what to
and we
do.
Talked about that. It's a tradition that parents expect because that's what they did, and
mm-hmm.
teachers are even panicking about, if I don't have homework, what am I going to do? And I said, you're going to have time to actually plan what you'll teach tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
not be grading mounds of homework.
Yeah.
So it's been interesting. Some of my teachers, they're on board with the idea. They're still trying to figure out how it's going
to
look in their classroom.
To
so I've met with many of them one-on-one,
mm-hmm.
and we're working through a lot of strategies and plans, but very proactive in wanting to promote this, because we feel in our community, especially with all the extracurricular kids are doing, we're getting so much angst from parents because of the time factor and
well, the kids mm-hmm. as well.
And,
yes.
and with Go Math and the way math is done, it's funny because they call it Go Math, it's not really new, but parents don't feel confident to teach that. So it causes more concern than
mm-hmm.
it is.
It's backwards.
So.
And this is not something that they just automatically jumped into. They have done a lot of research. John has done more, but he has given his teachers articles to read, to study. They talked about it. So it's a work in progress, but it is not a spur of the minute
mm-hmm.
thing. They've done a lot of research on it and given me some of the articles to read.
Well, I think it's great if they can learn it in school. That's a plus. It is. They've got it. It's theirs.
Hmm.
Oh, thank you for that. That's enlightening. It's exciting. It makes you feel excited about the things that are going on. So good for this school. Pass on our great respect for them, for things that they're doing in their classes and to make students achieve. We appreciate that. Let's go to the business administrator's report. You have anything, Jaron?
just briefly, nothing I have to say is nearly as interesting as that, so.
Oh, well.
Numbers.
Other than my kids will be really jealous when I tell them another school.
No homework.
You better not tell them.
Don't tell them.
No, that's not a way to flock people to my school, we don't have room for those. Janet's at 31, she told me unless they move her, she will kill me if I give her permission. We're at capacity.
You're at capacity.
Just briefly wanted to let you know we received our official budget numbers from the state yesterday. So we can start building our budget, we'll be doing that over the next month or so. And then April 14th is the meeting with EMI Health when we'll get renewal numbers on our medical plan.
Okay.
And that, probably that is gonna have the biggest impact overall on how things turn out with our budget as far as changes for next year. And so we'll have to see where that comes in, but just to keep you aware of kind of where we're at in that process.
Okay.
Questions?
So that's not the committee meeting date, the 14th, that's when you will get the numbers?
Up, correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll meet as a committee afterwards to discuss what's presented, and there may be different options in that for the school district, et cetera.
Okay.
But that's when we'll get our renewal options, yeah.
Okay, thank you for that. Before we turn the time over to Superintendent, I believe he had his start here. Didn't you have your start here in Cottonwood Elementary?
Not my teaching, no. I taught a year in Huntington Elementary and 3 years in Farron before I came here as the principal at the ripe age of 25.
Wow.
I was here for 13 years, but.
Well, we echo your sentiments with Superintendent Sitrud, and we'll turn the time over to him.
Wow, I'm speechless, no.
Well, there will be more to come.
You know me better than that, don't you?
Yeah, no, you'll have something to tell.
Just on a little kind of a somber note, I guess, I'd like to acknowledge the passing of Nina Gray, who was a former teacher and principal and in our school district. As a matter of fact, she's the principal who took my place here, Cottonwood, and her funeral service was this past Friday. So I'd like to recognize that, or at least acknowledge it. Also, I'd like to recognize our those in our school district who work with the finance. Again, for I don't know how many consecutive years, they've been awarded the International Association of School Business Officials award or certificate for excellence in financial reporting.
I might say if we don't get it, then I'll be suspicious,
because
it's just an ongoing thing.
The pressure is on.
The pressure is on.
They line the wall, we're running out of wall space in the business office. So. But
put them on the windows.
Yep,
that's right.
I do appreciate Jared, his staff, school secretaries, principals, others who do so much work on financial accounting, and recognize them for this award. I've also given you a copy, I sent you a copy of the sabbatical leave application form. Last meeting, you approved a revision to the leaves and absences policy that clarified sabbatical leave, what it could be used for, and those kinds of things. And we did create an application form that may be attached tonight. I don't know if it got in your packet or not. But
it was in our packet.
Just for your information. The legislative update, Julie tells me that she thinks hers are all out of order, or some of them. I just went through the one I have, which I thought was identical. I couldn't see where it was out of order, Julie.
I'll show you.
You can throw it away anyway.
Well, yours probably is.
If it was probably just yours.
No, Roy's was the same way.
Okay, well.
They assume we're dyslexic.
Yeah, that's
through it.
I was reading it backwards anyway.
It didn't make sense anyway.
I've given you this booklet.
I don't know what this says.
That we usually get every year from the, when we have our meetings in March, but they weren't prepared. and we just got it online yesterday, so Peggy put together this book for you, and if you go through this, this is the one we get every year. You'll notice each of the bills that were passed by the legislature that relate to education. This year there's a lot of bills on just reporting, and not really a lot that's substantive to curriculum or instruction, or which is not a bad thing, because we'd like the state board to be more involved in that and have the legislature a little less involved in that. But if you notice under each of those bills, if you just turn to the middle, you'll see that there's a the bill number and the title. It also has the sponsor of the bill, sponsors of the bill, and a summary. And then it has the State Office of Education and the school boards, what the state office is required to do with that bill. And then it says LEA action. And wherever it says LEA action, that's what local school districts are required to do with that legislation. Sometimes it just says we need to be aware of it. Sometimes there are specific things that we're required to do. We're required to write certain plans, or we're required to implement some program, or we're required to provide reports. But LEA action is what we're required to do. And then
what
funding.
What does that mean? What is LEA?
Local Education Agency.
Education, okay, there we go.
That's the official title of the school district. It's a local education agency.
Local school board, right?
Then it tells you whether there was any funding that went with the bill, and the date it becomes effective, and then who the state office contacts are on that bill. Now, there were two bills that, since I sent your packets out, the governor vetoed. One of them is Senate Bill 87, which really doesn't impact us, but it was a bill that would have exempted the State Board of Education from holding a hearing on a new rule if that administrative rule was presented at an open and public meeting and was discussed. And the governor vetoed that. He did not want to do away with the hearing process on state board rules. The other one was Senate Bill 2, which is the funding bill. And he, this was really one that surprised a lot of people. He did some line item vetoes that had to do with one-time funding for early childhood programs. There was $1.5 million statewide for the Upstart program. There was also what was called a ProStart Culinary Arts program. This is actually a television. These kids, high school kids, can get on TV and compete, a reality show. Where they it has to do with cooking, culinary. And there was some one-time money that was given to that program. It's a good program for those kids who have an interest in culinary arts. And then there was $3 million of early intervention, which is our K-3 reading program, and it was one-time funding. The governor, I slipped this separate paper into the back of your booklet. This paper is the governor's deputy for education's explanation of why the governor vetoed those three line items out of the funding bill. And talks about the fact that the K-3 reading is already receiving $4.6 million, and there's they got $3 million one time last year for technology, and most of this was for were vendor bills for technology to go along with the reading. And he indicates there's still $2.4 million available for those programs to the State Board of Education, and therefore he felt that it was not a wise use of taxpayer dollars, and that funding could be used for other programs that were passed but unfunded. So you can read through that, but Howard Stevenson, a few others, are calling for a special session to override the veto. We'll just wait and see what happens on those. But I put that in there for you so you'd understand why. You probably heard it on the news already, but that's the explanation of why the governor vetoed that those line items. Hopefully this will help you to understand some of the bills. You can go on the legislative website, click on bill numbers, go to this 2016 session, you can see the entire text of any bill you want to look at. It tells you what it's all about, and Senator, Representative McKiff, who is our representative, he's not running again, but he's been very instrumental in getting necessary to existing small schools funding for us. He tried to get $2 million more money put into that fund. He was successful in getting $500,000, but the $2 million at the end of the session went by the wayside because of lack of, they say funding, but I probably think more lack of commitment. But so, anyway, hopefully this will be helpful. Throw your other one away, Julie, and
use the good
this
one
is the legislative Bible now for education. Also, this time of the year, you are required to have some kind of training on land trust uses. I'll only say this, I have attached to my report tonight the same thing I've given you every year now for several years. And it's the school land trust program. Basically, there are no changes to the uses of school land trust. There were some changes in the way the trust is operated and the percentages that can eventually be used for schools, but nothing of substance in what they can and can't be used for. So this is your training, the handout.
We can all read that.
Have it entered into the minutes, please, that the board was trained on land trust uses. We've gone over this so many times. Mm-hmm. I will say this, that there was some change in the, there was a couple of changes in school community councils. One was if someone is running for election on for a school community council, and a parent has a student that will be in that school the next year, then they are eligible to vote. If they hold their election in the spring rather than the fall, those parents are eligible to vote on those school community council members, even though their kids aren't in the school yet. They will be the following year. The other change was that they took the professional development plan. School community councils will not have to help develop and a separate staff development plan. They've folded it into the school improvement plan. So there'll still be a plan. It'll just be part of the school improvement plan rather than a separate plan. I don't know who thought that up, yeah. But they did. There's no less work, but it's part of another plan. So that's the only changes that I know of in the school community council. But land trust, there's your training. So. And just a reminder that April 14th, that evening at 6, in the Carbon School District is the School Board Association regional meeting and dinner, and you will probably hear a lot more about this than I gave you. See,
yeah.
I didn't even read any of it.
Yeah, we will know it by then.
So study up, is that what you're saying?
And they also will go
they'll
over.
Tell you.
And they also, it looks like on the agenda, there is for your information again, it says, Land Trust School Community Council Training.
Oh. Again, huh?
Again.
Okay. We'll be ready for that.
And that's all I have.
We can say we've already been trained.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Superintendent. We appreciate that. Any public comments? Neil.
If I can take just a second, I want to have an item of information. So you know, the Utah Education Association is suing the state Board of Education. The reason was that they were not following state law and their own rules in how they were conducting public hearings and their meetings. This is aimed at getting them to follow the law. The law, the bill that the governor vetoed was an attempt by the legislature to overcome the objections the UEA had by exempting the state board from following those. We think that a judge would overturn that law anyway. I think the governor agreed with us. So be aware, there And it's not about money or anything like that, it's about getting the state board to follow their own rules and state law. Next, I've informed Jared that we're ready to negotiate. We know that it's gonna be a while before we know insurance and fully how the legislature has affected us. But we do have some non-money items that we would we'd be ready to begin negotiating whenever you're ready. We're not trying to rush you or anything, but we're ready when you are. And finally, I just wanna tell you a quick story. It won't take very long. You know that according to state law, and Emory High follows this religiously, we say the Pledge of Allegiance in our first period every day, and it's student-led. It's not allowed to be teacher-led, it's gotta be student-led. And so I just have the kids alphabetically know it's their day. We just rotate around through the alphabet. I have a foreign exchange student. I know I've told this to a couple of you, but I have a foreign exchange student in that class, and I told her, you do not have to say the Pledge of Allegiance, but if I were in France and you were doing something like this, I would stand out of respect. And I expect you to stand out of respect. And she said, oh, I'm happy to do that. So we've gone through this all this year, and starting around February, we came down through, and she said, stop, stop, stop. Don't skip me. Would it be okay if I led the Pledge of Allegiance? And since that time, when her turn's come, she steps up, this little girl from France, and leads these Americans in the Pledge of Allegiance. I want to tell you that is a good program, and it really works for people who aren't Americans. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that.
I got a question.
Is it really nice?
Does that have an effect on the kids in the class when they hear this girl from France do that? Do you think?
I've tried to stop reading the minds of...
well, if you can't, it's hopeless.
It has an effect on me, and so I suspect it does have an effect.
You sense that it does. Mm-hmm.
Mm, wow.
That's great.
That's
thank
good.
You.
It's Elena?
Elena. Sells.
Anyone else?
I didn't put you
first. Anyone else have any comments?
That is neat.
Well, thank you for being here. We will. We do have some closed meeting matters, so we'll have a
motion. I move that we go to closed session for personnel matters.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you, and thank you for your report.
Thanks, John.
Yes, thank you.
Again?
Twice before we exit.
Oh, thank you.
Oh,
how nice.
Made
oh, my goodness.
She's an Albert achiever.
So, we'll give her, like, what are we going to do? He was like, seven girls. So she went into the house.